Hey guys, this is Jerry, and I wanted to take the time today to do a special episode of Our Blessed Hope. I wanted to do an episode in honor and in memory of my friend Chris Jones, who passed away on April 10th of 2021, which as I record this is not very long ago. And I just wanted to talk about my friend, Chris Jones. And the reason I would do it on Our Blessed Hope is because back a long time ago when we first did this, and when I say we, me and a young man by the name of Jeremy Sheffield, we kind of started it, and I had help along the way. Chris Jones was one of them. He even appeared on a few of the episodes that we did back then, and then a young man by the name of Timothy Striplin that he helped, and he was on a few episodes. And of course, last but most certainly not least, my wife Renee was there to help on some of the episodes. But here recently, in fact, I'm only three episodes in. Here recently, I had decided to start doing the Our Blessed Hope podcast again. And when I was going through my old documents and going through my old audio files, I discovered that I still had an introduction to the podcast that Chris Jones had done, years ago. I had no idea that I still had it. And, you know, listening to it, it brought back good memories. It brought back, you know, I was happy to that I had it and was able to hear his voice. But of course it brings great sadness too, because, you know, your friend has passed away. And even though you know that he has gone to be with Jesus and you know that he is experiencing Our Blessed Hope beyond anything I can understand, still, it's kind of difficult. But I wanted to do this episode. I wanted just to do it in his honor, his memory. And so I'm going to play now the introduction that he did for me so many years ago. And then after that, then I will come back. And I just want to talk to you about the man that I knew, the Chris Jones that I knew, and I just want to share some thoughts with you. So, without further ado, here is the introduction that Chris Jones recorded for me years ago on Our Blessed Hope.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Our Blessed Hope. This is the podcast that teaches verse by verse through the Bible to unveil why Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Yes, Titus tells us, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Our Blessed Hope began as a podcast designed as an outreach for a local youth group with the main intention of teaching them Bible prophecy in a discussion-type format. But what started for Christians locally has today been downloaded and listened to by Christians as far away as a forbidden city in China, Christians in Moscow, Russia, and ultimately into all four corners of the globe. We are truly humbled by the thousands of listeners who have heard this podcast, as well as those who visit the Our Blessed Hope website weekly. The host of Our Blessed Hope is Jerry W. Lindsay. Saved at the age of 10, Jerry has spent the last three decades searching for the truth of God's Word, a hunger to teach others what he himself has learned is the heartbeat of Our Blessed Hope. This same hunger for knowledge of God's Word that Jerry has is what he desires to pass on to you today. So without further delay, let me turn it over now to the host of our show, the everyday theologian, Mr. Jerry W. Lindsay. And now, here's today's lesson.
I would like to begin in some scripture, and I would like to read a portion of Ephesians, and I just want to read Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. So Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, by predestining us to adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions, according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound to us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in him, for an administration of the fullness of the times, that is, the summoning up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. Now, as Chris was pointing out in that introduction, it was an amazing thing with what happened with our Blessed Hope back in that day. We were able to, basically, we were given a graph on that would show where people were listening in the world. And as Chris had said in that introduction, what we did, we just started out to be just an outreach to a local youth group. And we had no idea that when we started our Blessed Hope, that we'd have people in China. And I'll never forget when they first showed up. It was kind of like looking at Google Earth, and you would have little dots that would show up showing you where people were listening to the podcast. And there were just so many little bubbles that came up right there in China, and you could zoom down in to it. And I saw that it was where the Forbidden City was in China. And we never did figure out who was listening out of China. We just assumed that because in China, most households don't have Wi-Fi like we do here in America. They have to go to a public place for the most part to get Wi-Fi. And we assumed that, I don't know, maybe there was an underground church or something in that area that, was downloading our Blessed Hope. All we know is that they were downloading it. And then after China, then we see bubbles start appearing around in Moscow, Russia. It was just, and of course, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. There, in any of the episodes that we did, and there were many episodes, I imagine probably the most hits we had on a single episode may have been around the 3,000 mark. And when you're talking about podcasting, that's really not a very big thing. It's a very small thing. We were always just on the low end of podcasting, but still, it was all about trying to reach people with the gospel, and that podcast at the time, it really did go that far out, but anyway, I just felt like an explanation may have been in order after you heard the introduction that he had recorded so many years ago. Of course, a lot of things have changed since then, but what I wanted to talk about is obviously Chris Jones. And, in his passing, a lot of people have brought out that what a great artist he was. And let me tell you, he was a wonderful artist. He could draw just about anything, and he was very, very talented. And he enjoyed more than anything when we would have vacation Bible school at the church that we both work at. And when they would have vacation Bible school, he was able to do a class where he could teach the children how to draw. And they had so much fun with that. And Chris was never happier than when he could actually share a talent that he had and to share it with children like that and to use this talent of art as a ministry to reach out to young people. And this was just, it was a wonderful blessing that he had such an amazing gift. And it was amazing to watch what he actually did with the gift that he had. And also as well, people have pointed out just how much Chris Jones loved his family. And I certainly know that that's true. You did not know Chris without knowing who his wife Desiree was and knowing about his three children. He had two sons, Luke and Logan, and has a daughter by the name of Chloe. All three are young adults now. Chloe would be the youngest, and she's fixing to start off into college here soon, so which is kind of a hard thing for me to believe that kids grow up so fast, and now I have to call them young adults. But you didn't talk with Chris if you didn't hear about his family. He just really loved his family, and it was always all about them and him wanting to try his best in life just to provide for them as best that he could. And he just so loved his family and what God had given to him. So a lot of people have talked about those things, but I just wanted to talk to you about the Chris Jones that I knew. Because when I met Chris, I guess it was actually close to 15 years ago, because that's how long he had worked at the church where we're at. And I was there before him. So, and that would have been when I met him. And when you go back 15 years ago, that's a long way to go back. But, you know, when I think about those years, there were a lot of times when Chris and I had heart-to-heart talks. There were times when we got mad at each other. You know, even Christian brothers, they do that. I mean, if you don't think so, read the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You want to talk about a messed up church? that was a messed up church. And there was a lot of times when I think me and Chris both would have made great members of the church in Corinth. Very much so. But when you go through life with somebody and you have so many heart-to-heart talks, when you have so many times that are moments just between the two of you, and you have these long conversations, you really get to know each other. And the thing that I want you to know about Chris Jones is that when I met him so many years ago, I mean, just it was the same effect of people that met him in the last years of his life, that you just had an instant liking for him. He had such a bubbling personality, and he was so funny, and you know, he loved to tell jokes, and he loved to do voice imitations, and then of course he loved to share his art and the things that he wanted to do with it. He was just, the main thing about his art is that he wanted to use it in a way that would glorify Christ. And I believe he struggled a lot with, okay, how do I do that? What is the best way to do that? He had thought so much about wanting to do Christian comics. He really loved to draw comic book characters, but he wouldn't draw them the way that they are drawn today. He found that vulgar. If you look at some of the comic books today, the way that they draw, especially the female anatomy, is just not Christian. And so he refused to draw like that. So he drawed more characters of kind of like how that they would have been back in the 50s when things were a little bit more tame. But the main thing is he wanted to use his art to glorify God and to reach people with the gospel. When I knew him so many years ago, I knew him at a time when he was going through a lot of struggles. I knew him at a time when, you know, he was just having many problems, many issues in his life, many things that he was trying to overcome. Now, obviously, I'm not telling you this because I want to badmouth him or anything like that. And I certainly wouldn't share what any of those problems were, except in this, that we worked on a night shift together. And for Chris, I mean, he just could never really function on night shift. And one of the biggest problems was because when you work on night shift, you just miss a lot of family things and a lot of family times. And that is what was really, I think, at the root of many of his problems at the time, because we talked about it many, many a times. And the reason that, you know, he had the struggles that he was having, and at the time, now remember, now we're talking about almost 15 years ago and moving a little bit forward. Some of his biggest problems was that, you know, not being able to be with his wife now and being with his kids. But the reason that I mention this is because Chris Jones, though, was a Christian. He was a saved man. And all of us who are saved, we still go through trials. We still go through struggles. I know that I have, and I have never met a Christian who did not go through struggles. It is not an easy thing to be a Christian. Some people want to say that. It's just, oh, the Christian life is just so easy. No, it's not, because the Christian life is one of dying to self. And just like all the rest of us, this is what Chris was having to do. He was having to mortify the flesh. You see, now I didn't realize that God was actually showing me things. I didn't realize that God was actually at that time teaching me lessons through the life of Chris Jones. You never, I guess, really know what's happening when you're in the moment. You only realize things after, when you can look back and you can reflect on things. And see, when Chris Jones was having troubles back then, Chris Jones turned to the Bible. He turned to the Bible. He knew where to find the answers to the problems of his life that he needed to overcome. And the reason that I have even read today from the book of Ephesians was because at the time, going back all those years ago, the both of us had discovered John MacArthur, and both of us were listening to him, but it just seems that Chris was always in one place and I was in another, because, you know, John MacArthur had basically preached through the entire New Testament verse by verse. I don't think he had back then when we had first started listening. That was to come a few years from then. But the book of Ephesians, John MacArthur started years and years, eons ago. And that was Chris's favorite book of the Bible to listen to John MacArthur preach through, at least at that time. Because he told me many times that he would go through all of the sermons. And that's quite a few sermons, by the way, that John MacArthur had preached in Ephesians. I remember him talking about, as you listen through, that some of the sermons are from way back. I think a few of them actually go back to the 70s, 1970s, and then onward, even some that were more recent at the time. But he just kept listening to those and kept listening to those. And the reason that he did was because he knew that hearing God's word proclaimed that way was what he needed to grow as a Christian. And grow he did, let me tell you. I'll never forget when, you know, like I say, we worked at a church, and I know for some reason people got a bad habit of going to church and they abandon their Bible. That is beyond me how you would abandon your Bible. But they do. I mean, I remember there was a locker full of people that had come to church and had forgotten to take their Bible home and just left them. And we had quite a few. And one day Chris was looking at that locker and he found, of all things, a John MacArthur study Bible. I think it was a New King James Version, John MacArthur study Bible. And I can't remember now who it was he asked, but he asked permission from one of the pastors that worked at the church if he could have it, and they gave him permission. And you would have thought Chris had had 1,000 Christmas mornings to the fact that, I mean, that he had gotten a John MacArthur study Bible, and he had gotten it for free. And let me tell you, I don't believe he abandoned that Bible anywhere at any time. And I can remember seeing him now on break, sitting there reading through that Bible, and just how much he loved the Word of God and how much of it he was able to memorize. It has always amazed me at people that have such terrific memories and can remember such large amounts of scripture. But Chris Jones, he was one of those people that was able to really really able to memorize lots and lots of scripture. So the only reason that I want to even make mention in all of these talks that we had so many years ago, and the fact that at that time when I knew him, he was going through some struggles and some problems, and you know, we would get mad at each other. I'd do things to make him mad, and vice versa, and then we would forgive each other, and then we'd get mad at each other all over again, and we were just on some kind of merry-go-round, you know. But see, through it all, and though I couldn't have known it at the time, now that I look back on it, I can see how Jesus was growing both myself and Chris, and bringing us through that process that is called sanctification. And you know, when we were both having to deal with sins that were in our own lives, and we were having to look within, and I don't know, just doing life together, it did that. And just having had this relationship with Chris so many years ago, and even the fact that we butted heads, to be honest, at some points, but the fact that we were able to forgive each other after the fact and come back together as Christians, you can look back on it now and you can see what God was doing in his life. I can see what God was doing in my life. And it just makes me all the more thankful that I knew Chris Jones. It makes me all the more thankful. In fact, I will say this, and I mean it from the depths of my heart, that I am a better man today because I knew Chris Jones. I mean, I am. Because the Lord just used Chris and his life and everything that he went through, and watching Chris and watching what he turned to, how he turned so much to sermons, and he turned to the Bible and to prayer, and then just to see what happened all the way through his life and how much he changed. Oh my goodness. See, when you have known somebody for 15 years, you know, and they're a Christian, see, there's going to be changes in their life. And boy, were there changes in Chris's life. I mean, the things that used to haunt him or the things that used to bother him, you know, they all vanished like smoke because of the grace of Christ and because of the work that Christ did in his life. You know, one of Chris's favorite things to do was, well, through his art, because he was quite the artist, he would get onto websites where basically different artists will share their gifts. They will share their, you know, their talents with each other. But see, Chris went on there, yes, to show his art and to meet other artists, but you see, at the root of Chris Jones is he wanted to let people know about the gospel, and You know, when you just go on to an average, any type of average website about anything, you're going to have a majority lost people there. So, you know, Chris just loved to share the gospel. Seems like that he found many, many people who were atheists, many, many people who believed in evolution and things like this. And he would just love to share with them the truth of God's word. And I remember one time him talking to me about how that he had gone onto some website like this. And, you know, I mean, he was very creative. I mean, being an artist, I mean, he was very creative. He could be very, very thorough. When he put his mind that he was going to do something, I mean, it was done all the way. And he had come up with a great response to any question that anybody would ever ask about evolution. And it just, you know, had all the scriptures that a person could go to, just answered everything that an evolutionist might claim against Christianity and the Bible. He had it all there. And then he uploaded it all to this website. And then he talked to me about how that, you know, after you post something, then somebody else will post something, somebody else will post something, somebody else, until eventually, you know, the comments you make kind of roll up until, you know, they're kind of off the screen when you first go there to where people are posting their comments. And he said it wasn't very long. He said when he first did it, you know, he had some responses to the things that he said. But he said it wasn't too long until, you know, a few pages had rolled up and the people were making the same old silly arguments that he had already explained. And it just frustrated him so much that, you know, that he'd spent so much time trying to put together the perfect response and people wouldn't see it. That frustrated him. It was at the very core of his heart that he wanted to see people come to salvation. And, you know, and I was talking to another friend that had told me that there was Chris had a friend that was an atheist that he had witnessed to for years. And, you know, I found out that just a few weeks before Chris passed away, that this friend had finally come to Christ. He finally, you know, he got this friend that he had been praying for so many years. He had finally come to Christ. And see what a testimony that is. To a man that he just, you know, the Holy Spirit changed him. When times were tough in his life, when he had difficulties, when he had problems, when he was suffering through things and things that even just seemed to want to put him in a state of depression. But he knew who the answer was. He knew who the answer was because he knew him. He knew Christ, or we should say, Christ knew him, and the Holy Spirit brought him through all these things and brought him out to the other end. And it was truly an amazing, amazing thing to watch. Unfortunately, in, you know, quite a number of years, see, I have remained on night shift. Chris finally got to move to day shift, which is something that he always wanted. And both of us, we work in operations at this church. It's a big church, and it's also a Christian academy, a pretty big facility. But he finally got to move to day shift. And then he finally, after having worked at the church for 15 years, he finally got to do the job that he wanted to do. After 15 years, he had wanted to work in the maintenance department, and with that had come a nice promotion and a nice raise, and these are things that he had prayed about for so long, and you know, and it was just so wonderful. You know, it was wonderful just for me because I had prayed for Chris for so long, just through all of the problems that arose, you know, and who knows how many times I had to go to the Lord to ask forgiveness for something that I had done or said that was hurtful towards Chris, just all those times. But all the prayers that I prayed for him and his family. And then you see the Lord answer those prayers. It's why prayer is so important. I mean, God is sovereign. God is going to do what God has already predestined to do. But if you don't pray, then you're not in on it. See, God tells us to pray. So if you don't pray, you know, as God is doing things and he's doing things through people's lives and miracles are happening, well, you don't know anything about it because you're outside of prayer. But when we pray for others and then we see what happens in the lives of people, then we are just, it's just a wonderful thing to know that your prayers are answered and that you see what the Lord has done in other people's lives. And then you see what Chris was able to do in the lives of other people. And it was just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And again, I say unashamedly that I know today that I am a better man. I mean, if I could go back in time now, I could have been so much better towards my friend Chris and towards others. But you see, the thing is, the only reason that I know how to do things better or how to interact with people better, well, it happened because I learned as I went through life with a man named Chris Jones. And it's just, I'm so thankful to the Lord that he brought Chris into my life and Chris's family into my life. I'm just so thankful, you know, for him. But the main thing about my life and Chris's life is that we were always able to forgive each other. And even though we had moved to opposite shifts, I hadn't been able to talk with him as much. We still passed each other's path, and we did quite a bit. And when we did, it was just, you know, one of the last times that I saw Chris was I was talking to him. I was listening to a man by the name of Donald Grayhouse or Donald Gray Barnhouse, excuse me, and Dr. Barnhouse had done a radio show way back in the 60s. He died actually very young, but I had just discovered him. The Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, I believe, are the ones that have kind of brought his radio show back. And I really love Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, and I had been wanting to find some books. I mean, sure that he had written some books, and I was just talking to Chris about that. And first of all, Chris was just kind of flabbergasted to find out that they had put in his show back up, because he didn't know that, and he was so excited to find out, you know, that they had. And I had told him, you know, how to get it, and he was going to download it so he could listen to some of the radio shows. But when I talked to him about maybe having a book, Chris had told me that when he had first become a Christian, back before I knew him, that he had actually used a book that Donald Barnhouse had used it's a book where he just talks about all kinds of different things, just different elements of Christianity and the faith and all of that. And Chris talked about how he had used that as a devotional book. Then he would just read a portion each day. It wasn't actually meant to be a devotional book, but it was, he used it that way. Chris, one of the things I know about Chris is I don't think he would pass a bargain bookstore without going in there. And Chris was good about finding, these treasures probably deep in the barrels of books and everything. You just see, you know, you got this big like box of books. You know, they're selling for like $1 a piece or something. And so anyway, the next day, guess what Chris came in with? He came in with that book. He had two copies, and he gave one to me so that I would be able to go through it just because that's the kind of guy that Chris was, you know. And you know how much I'm going to treasure this book now. And even recently, it seems funny, but I never actually went through the book of Ephesians that John MacArthur did. It seemed like I was always somewhere else, but you know, I have downloaded now all of those, and I'm working my way through the book of Ephesians, and I can see why Chris loved it so much. And, you know, the literally the day before he died, I uh, His wife, Desiree, had posted a picture of their daughter, Chloe, and she had gone to her first prom, and of course she's all dressed up in a prom dress, and of course me and my wife both just did a double take because we're like, who is this young, beautiful woman? I mean, this can't possibly be the Chloe that we knew as a little girl. I mean, my goodness, what has happened? So, and I remember thinking that I couldn't wait to see Chris because I was really going to tease him about how, you know, I had some baseball bats that he could borrow if he wanted, because surely he's going to have to be beating the boys off now as they come to the door. And I was just going to kind of give him some grief on that. And also, just recently, John MacArthur has started going back through the Book of Ephesians. And I wanted to make sure that Chris knew that, you know, but unfortunately, I never got to do either one of those things because next thing I knew, the next day, I'm getting messages that Chris Jones had passed away, and you're just in complete disbelief. I mean, he was only 53 years old. I mean, and you know, you wonder. I mean, it's okay to wonder. I think a lot of people, when something like this happens, when something so unexpectedly, I mean, if Chris had been, he had some kind of disease or something, if there had been something that he'd been suffering with for long years, if he had had long hospital stays, it would be kind of like, you know, it's still going to be overwhelmingly sad, but you know to expect it. But when something happens so suddenly, and then when you look at the fact that Chris had only been, I think, 5 months into this, the job that he had always wanted, and you know, the raise that he had wanted, and I mean, he was just on cloud nine about this, and you know, I mean, and his, all three of his children have turned out so well, and they're all getting ready to, you know, to embark out into young life. His oldest son is already in college with it, you know, and you just wonder, why now, Lord? Why now? Why now? Why at this moment? Why now? But as we read in the scriptures, we know that God has predestined, I mean, all things to the good pleasure of his will. And that includes when a saint of Christ passes away and goes home to be with the Lord. And we're just left to wonder why. And the only thing that we can really have is the book of Job. And, you know, and Job just, I mean, he lost everything. He lost everything, and including the lives of his children. And, you know, when we get to the end of the book of Job, as we all know, when God talks to Job, he never tells Job why all those things happened. He was never explained. God did not sit down and explain that, you know, the devil had come before him and basically had challenged him. And well, Job, as far as we know, never knew that. God just basically said, you just need to trust me. You just trust me. You put your faith in me. And that's what we do. That's what we all do. But we still have questions. I have talked with so many people that, you know, I know of a lot of folks who's had relatives that have died from COVID, and the problems that the COVID has caused, especially when it comes to just trying to have funeral services and how it's affected that, and people can't grieve in the way that they're accustomed to grieving, and you just think about all of it. My wife, I mean, we lost her father right at the beginning of this year of 2021, and then through the course of the year, my wife found out that five of her coworkers had passed away this year. And then we have our friend Chris Jones pass away. And then right after that, not that it even will come close to anything else that I've just talked about, but, you know, one of our dogs that we had for 14 years passed away. And, you know, some people might find that strange, but, you know, you can get close to animals too. They're, for a lot of us, they are blessings from the Lord. And it's just that death, when death comes, it just, it just stops us in our tracks. But, you know, I have to ask the question, can anything good come out of death? And the only thing that I can possibly think of when you're standing at the grave of a loved one, the only thing that could possibly ever be good is if it causes someone to examine their own life and realize that they too are going to die. I mean, let's face it, we live in a dangerous place. The world is a very dangerous place, and it can kill you in all kinds of different ways. And none of us knows when that moment's going to come, but it will come. We know that it's going to come for all of us. And so the only thing that I think could possibly come, that could be good, that could come out of the death of a saint like Chris Jones was and is that that person stands there and realizes that they too are going to die, and they ask themselves the question, and then what? See, Chris Jones knew. He knew. I mean, was Chris Jones perfect when he died? Had he been made perfect? Was he perfect in everything he did? Of course not. None of us are. None of us will be. In fact, we are in the process of sanctification, but what it's leading up to is the resurrection. And when the resurrection of the dead happens, when we stand before Jesus, when we truly see him as he is in our resurrected bodies, then we will be completed in the work of sanctification. And then we will actually be like Jesus, which is just mind-blowing. But no, when Chris died, he hadn't been made perfect yet. There were still things I'm sure he was struggling with, just like we all do. But the thing is, even though Chris didn't know that on that day that the Lord was going to come, Chris was ready. He was ready because for all the time that I knew him, he was getting ready. The whole time. Even when we were mad at each other, he was getting ready for that day. He did it because he was reading God's word. He did it because he was listening and trying to grow in his understanding by listening to people like John MacArthur and others. Everybody that he came in contact with, he wanted to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not because he himself was perfect or ever was, but because he wanted people to know about his Savior, and he wanted them to know the way of salvation. That's the only people that God has is imperfect people. I mean, he doesn't have any good people because we're all bad. He has to use sinful people because that's all that there is. But he's bringing us through the process of sanctification. And so the only thing that good can come is that maybe somebody hears about my friend Chris Jones, and they hear about how this was a man that walked with the Lord, who was constantly studying the word in many different ways and witnessed to others. And it would only be good if somebody knows about Chris Jones and they question their own life and they come to salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what I would ask anyone that hears this. This is why I am even recording this in the form of a podcast. Hopefully it'll be up for a very long time, and who knows who may listen to it. You may be listening to this and, you know, a couple of years have passed by, but you know, the point is that we are all going to die. This is a dangerous place. And the question is, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know the same Jesus that Chris Jones knew? I don't know why Chris was taken when he was taken. I don't know. I have no answers for that. I know that God is sovereign. I know that God, there are reasons that we'll understand one day, as the old songs say, we'll understand it in the by and by one day. And until then, we just have to keep our faith and trust in Jesus And we just keep walking through this place called life. And as we walk, there's going to be temptations and trials and struggles. Chris Jones was a testament to that. But the biggest testament that he leaves is that when he walked through his troubles, he walked through them with Christ. And he kept turning to the right person, and he kept turning to the Word, and he grew. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to close. I just wanted to share some thoughts with you about my friend Chris Jones. But as I close, the song that I am closing with, this was something that Gold City, which is, I guess, my absolute favorite men's quartet group. They're the ones that are singing this song. And Chris absolutely loved this song. He absolutely loved it. And I remember him even asking me, he said, "Jerry, whatever you do on that podcast, please don't ever change that last song." He just absolutely loved it. And maybe as you listen to this podcast, you know, maybe you cut it off when that final music's coming up. But I'd ask you to listen to it today and to concentrate on the words today and think of Chris as you listen to it, and think about how that he understood what these words meant. And the question that's asked in the song is, are you ready? You know, are you ready? And Chris was ready. Chris was ready. And I would encourage you to be ready too. If you're not a Christian, then come to Jesus. Come in the confessing your sins. Come in true repentance, wanting to turn from your sins. And ask Jesus to forgive you, because he will. He shed his blood for those that he had come to save. And he will save you. And he will put you on the same path that Chris Jones was on. It's not always pretty. There's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of things that we go through. But he will bring you through to the end. And as always, guys, I have checked the back of the book. And to all those who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, just like my friend Chris Jones did, everything is going to turn out all right.
The Bible speaks of two men who were standing in the field, where one is taken and one is left behind. Two women in the kitchen, one goes and one remains. So get your house in order while there's time. In the cross there is salvation. Through the blood there is a way to secure your destination on that resurrection day.
Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son. Usher in the song.